Hey, moms, welcome to this episode of the Dorenda Wilson Podcast. I'm Dorenda, wife to one, mom to eight, nana to 11, and 30-year veteran homeschooling mom. I'm also the author of four books, The Unhurried Homeschooler, The 4-Hour School Day, Unhurried Grace for a Mom's Heart, and my most recent release, Raising Boys to Men. I'm excited to tell you that Raising Boys to Men audiobook is coming April 15th, available exclusively at my website. But right now, you can also go to my website and pick up the Unhurried Homeschooler audiobook that just came out in recent weeks. I hope you'll go and check those out. If you are interested in finding a lot of encouragement for the upcoming homeschooling year, homeschooling conferences are a great way to do that. I'm going to be at 5 conferences plus an online conference. I will leave a link in the show notes just in case one of those conferences is in your area. I would love to meet you in person. If you've got teens, be sure to listen after the prayer at the end of this episode to hear about an opportunity you will not want to miss. Now, after hearing about my family's negative experience with CPS, you might be concerned about what CPS could do to your family, and rightly so. But did you know it's possible to reduce your likelihood of being reported just by educating yourself about your state's laws? In addition to offering legal defense for Christian homeschool families, our sponsor, Heritage Defense, has a law and policy vault, which is free to the public. You don't even have to be a member. The vault has summaries of laws in all 50 states covering a variety of issues ranging from vaccines for homeschoolers to newborn health policies. Understanding the law helps families make better decisions and reduces the likelihood of being falsely reported. Go to myheritagedefense.org/accessthevault to see the laws in your state. I'll leave a link in the show notes to make it easy for you. Maybe you aren't even thinking about your baby, toddler, or preschooler's education, but chances are it has crossed your mind. If you are considering homeschooling, you may be wondering or even anxious about how you prepare yourself and your child for this. How early should you start? And what should you do? Do not stress. It's actually simpler than you think. And I'll tell you why in just a minute. But first, I want to share my favorite math resource with you, CTC Math. Here's a testimonial from a happy mom whose family uses CTC. She said, I took a leap of faith and tried CTC Math for the kids. I kept hearing you talk about it on your super helpful and wonderful podcast. Thank you for that. Our lives are so much better with this incredible program. My kids beg to do their math lessons first, and it has freed me up to work with the other kids more intentionally because I'm not struggling to teach concepts to frustrated children. It is a wonder. I was planning to pay for a math tutor to come over to help, and now I don't have to search for one. Thank you. I've already told all of my homeschool mom friends. So moms, check out CTC Math at ctcmath.com. Again, I'll leave a link in the show notes. So in the last episode, I talked about growing in our confidence as moms to babies, toddlers, and preschoolers. Today, I want to talk about growing in our confidence as homeschooling moms to babies, toddlers, and preschoolers. Now, I do want to clarify that I am not talking about diving into the schoolwork with your babies, toddlers, and preschoolers, but rather remembering that you are actually laying the foundation during these years that will impact your upcoming homeschooling year. So in the last episode, I talked about the importance of taking the time to grow in your parental discernment by learning to hear from the Lord. And this really just comes down to being in the Word and in prayer for direction, seeking out good counsel. I mentioned this podcast is a great place to find information, ways to educate yourself about your child and their developmental stages. You can use the search bar, and it's at the top of the list of episodes on the podcast page of my website. I'll include that link in the show notes, but you can find like whatever you want to be listening to. So just think of a keyword and put it in that search bar, and those episodes should come up. There are over 500 episodes, so chances are there is something in there for you. So, you know, you're going to be in the Word, you're going to be in prayer, you're going to be seeking the Lord and trying to educate yourself with reliable resources. You're going to be talking with your husband about what you both believe God wants for your family, rather than allowing the culture to inform your perspective. So it's about taking time to slow down, get to know your child. It's keeping a simple, consistent routine and consistent discipline. That is so much of what these early years are. They were meant to be that way. We're like pouring the concrete for our kids' character during this time. And so it's important that we are making sure that we are more focused on character training than we are on book work during this particular stage of the game. And there's more than one reason for that. But the character training, when maybe you hear me say that and you're like, what do you mean by that? What I mean by that is a lot of it is discipline. Do your children listen to you? Do you have to count? Because counting just teaches our kids that they don't have to do what we say until we count. And so I talk about this in some of the discipline episodes that I've done. I really encourage you to go and listen to those. I'll try to include some links in the show notes to some of those. But really, so much happens developmentally in our kids in these early years that lay the foundation for their future education, but it happens quite naturally as we are working on teaching them to do simple chores, have small responsibilities that are age appropriate for them. We keep them in a consistent routine, consistent discipline, lots of play. And these are things that our kids tend to want during this time. Yes, sometimes they push back on the discipline part, but they actually really want that. They act like they don't, but they do. So what they're asking for when they're pushing the parameters is they're asking for you to tell them that the boundaries have not changed, because that gives them security. So it's just these simple, basic things that actually quite naturally prepare our kids for the more cognitive years of education. But this is all part of their education. So don't ever think of it as, oh, it's pre-education or it's not really education. It is part and parcel to their education. And it starts now. So young children learn mostly by doing, not by lecturing or only watching someone else do things. This is why it's important to engage all their senses as often as possible. So what that really looks like in real life is simply bringing them alongside of us as we do the things that we need to do. So what things do we do? We do laundry, we sweep, we vacuum, we tidy the house. We pull our kids alongside of us to do it with us. We also teach them to do some things on their own. And so we're just living life. And we all know that, you know, when you've got little ones, there's a lot of work involved. And so a lot of moms, I think, freak out because they're like, well, I'm just trying to keep the house in order, keep the kids fed. How in the world am I going to homeschool? Well, if they're all little like that, you do not need to worry about that. They are learning plenty from just doing things with you. Now, does that mean we're not going to bring out some Play-Doh? Absolutely not. We bring out Play-Doh, lots of hands-on type of things. But again, kids do, they learn best at this age by engaging all of their senses. So they're doing lots of things. I remember I had my grandson and granddaughter over, and I just brought them with me, whatever I had to do. Well, I needed to I was putting my vitamins in a container, you know, my weekly vitamins. And so I just engaged them in that process, you know? So we looked at, okay, how many spaces are there? How many of those vitamins do we need to put in there? And what color? We could talk about the colors. We could do counting. They were both like kindergarten-ish at the time. So just pulling them alongside of us and pointing out different things. Here's the thing. Our kids are curious by nature, and learning is actually instinctive for them. And so our job as moms is to give them a stable, predictable, consistent learning environment, because what they're doing right now is they're learning how they learn. They don't realize that's what's happening, But that is what's happening. So if they're curious by nature and learning is instinctive for them, the only time we're going to run into a problem is if we burn them out on our version of what learning is. You know, we often get pressured by, we will hear from educators or from all these different places that, you know, early education is so, so important. Well, it is, but not the kind they're talking about. Not the book work, not the rote things that they can handle better down the road, but the hands-on things, the life things. And so this is a wonderful time to be laying that foundation. So a simple, dependable routine with lots of margin. And what I mean by that is you're going to give yourself lots of time to go get through the different things that you're doing throughout the day. So let's say in the morning, you're going to pull your kids alongside of you as you're getting breakfast ready and setting the table and all of that. Well, that isn't all going to happen super quickly when you have little kids who are learning to do things. So you have to have margin in your day and you're not running from one thing to the next to the next. You're not in a hurry. You're letting the kids experience this. And because when you see a four-year-old with a little pile of plates and they go to the table, there's a lot of balancing and hand-eye coordination that's going on when they're doing these things. They can't do them quickly. They're young. Their sense of balance is different when they're younger than when they're older. They're still learning coordination, but all of these things help them develop that. But again, we can't be in a hurry or it's just going to make them frustrated, and we don't want that to happen. So in this, the thing we have to also remember, giving yourself lots of margin, it is one of the best gifts you can give your littles and yourself. Another reason for that is because it enables our children to self-teach. Children are incredibly capable of self-teaching. But as adults, we get impatient. And as adults, in our current educational system, what we've done is we've said, this is what you need to learn right now. Instead of knowing our child and knowing whether they're ready for that or not, or having the freedom to follow their interests and have them learn some of those basic things like reading and writing and all of that through their interests. But children are very capable of self-teaching. I talk a lot about this in The Unhurried Homeschooler and in The 4-Hour School Day. So if you want to know more about that, go and read both of those books. I think you'll be super encouraged. But in this season of babies, toddlers, and preschoolers, we're establishing our parent-child relationship. This is also very, very important to remember. We're laying the foundation for our authority in their lives, for our role in their lives. So we're teaching them either mom's in charge or mom's not in charge. Or sometimes she's in charge and sometimes she's not. And sometimes this is the rule and sometimes it's not. No, this is what we want. We want to establish that we are the parents, that we keep them safe, that they can trust us, that they do naturally trust us, but we want to continue to build that trust with them. As they go through all these different developmental stages, they need to have the confidence that we are there with them, right there with them, engaging them, encouraging them. We're not abandoning them to their own, to their own folly. So we're disciplining and all of that. This gives them security. And really, that's the most important thing you can give them at this stage of the game. Give them security. Because if they feel safe and secure, they will learn so naturally. Another thing we're doing during this season is we're laying the foundation for their relationship with learning. So we want our kids to have positive experiences with learning so that they don't see learning as a drag, but they see it as something fun and interesting, and they see obstacles as things to overcome, problems to solve. And that starts at a very, very, very primary level where we're not running in and saving them all the time when they get stuck. Maybe they're climbing up a couple of rocks and, their foot slips, but they're still there. They're fine. And they're going, just wait. Like, don't rush in and try to save them. Say, come on, buddy, you can do it. Come on, get your foot up there. all those little things along the way where we're engaged and aware of what our kids are doing and how we can encourage them to press and persevere forward, that lays a healthy foundation for higher learning. So we want their relationship with learning to be positive. We want to allow them as much as possible to follow their interests as opposed to telling them what they need to learn. Okay, especially in these years. Now, later on, there can be more and more directives, but I think it's super important, especially in these early years, and it continues throughout our kids' education, but maybe just in smaller quantities of time, that they're following their interests as opposed to being told what they need to learn. So mom might be listening right now and she's thinking to herself, what about learning to do things even if they don't want to, you know? So let's just say if my kid isn't sitting down and doing workbooks at 5 years old, how is he ever going to learn that sometimes you have to do things you don't want to do? Okay, so here's the key, moms, listen carefully. That can be taught in every other area. So when you've given them a chore to do, to set the table, and they're dragging their feet or they're getting distracted or they don't want to do it, right? You're going to encourage them and you're going to say, hey, no, we need to do this. I know you don't want to do it right now, but you do need to do this. So there's a lot of other areas we can work on that particular character quality, because if we push the bookwork at this stage of the game and they're not ready for it, they will hate learning. It will kill their love for learning. And this is foundational for the upcoming homeschool years. Now, obviously, I'm a big fan of reading to your kids. Absolutely. That's one of the best things you can do during this stage of the game in this particular season. Read a lot of books together or let them look at books, look at pictures, things like that. That's totally great. When I talk about bookwork, I am talking about like workbooks where they're having to get in there and, you know, immediately learn how to write, immediately learn how to read. I firmly believe that a simple, unhurried approach to school at this stage of the game is absolutely essential. And that's one of the reasons I wrote The Unhurried Homeschooler. But Dr. Raymond Moore was a teacher, principal, and superintendent of California Public Schools. He had a PhD in education at the University of Southern California. He was an academic dean and president of numerous colleges in the United States, Japan, and the Philippines. He and his wife homeschooled their children and worked tirelessly to make homeschooling legal in places all over the world. So one of the books that they wrote was called Better Late Than Early, and I'm going to read a quote from it. By the way, these people were homeschooling in the 70s. Isn't that amazing? So here's what they had to say. From birth, a child relates to his world as he learns about it, and he learns about it as it in turn responds to him. He learns with sureness and accuracy or with hazy confusion, depending upon the people and the things around him. He learns from warmth, consistency, and love, and opens as a flower in the sunshine to whatever new experience or knowledge may come his way. Or he learns from coldness, irritability, and neglect, and closes his mind and feelings against further hurt. He rejects those who have already rejected him. Personal success for the child, including his later achievement and adjustment in school, depends to a large degree upon a stable, predictable, consistent early environment. A child needs a secure base from which to explore. He becomes self-reliant as he realizes that he can rely on others and that the important people and basic things in his world are not always changing. So again, a warm, stable, predictable, consistent environment where mom and dad are engaged. I'm not saying you have to be engaged every single moment of every single day, that our kids have to interrupt us when we're talking to another adult or person. None of that. I just mean that the rule is that our children know that we are there, that things are stable, mom and dad love them, things are predictable, the environment is consistent, and that is key, and that we're there, we're present. So a few things that I want you to keep in mind as you're thinking about future schooling with your child or about whatever schooling you think they should be having right now, which hopefully is basically nothing. And that's why I'm going to start with my first point. Don't worry about quote unquote schoolwork. Don't sacrifice the joy of this season on the altar of an early education. There is solid evidence showing that a child who is unhurried and allowed to start and work at their own pace in the early years will surpass those who start out being pushed earlier. So what we did at our house was kept a simple but consistent schedule with regular eating, playing, and sleeping times and simple chores. We baked together, we cleaned up together, we read together, we folded laundry together or put it away or sorted it. We just did a lot of things together. We gave them real life things to play with as opposed to toys. So kids love to play their own reality where they are the mom, the dad, and the hero. All of this is a crucial part of their development. Remember that kids are learning all the time. There's a great book called Learning All the Time and How Kids Learn by John Holt. And I will try to leave a link in the show notes for you so you can find that book. It's an oldie, but a couple of oldie books, but good. They're written by, like I said, by John Holt. I think he wrote them in the 80s. Really short, mercifully short. But here's the thing. Kids are learning all the time, and sometimes our job is to engage them in what we're doing, like the vitamin story I mentioned earlier. And sometimes our job is to get out of the way and let them follow through on their interests. We don't have to make this complicated, moms. And I think this is part of the way that God gently leads us, as he talks about in Isaiah 40, verse 11, that I mentioned in the last episode, that says that he gently leads those who are with young. I think if we stick to organic, natural, like what is natural for us to do? Well, it's natural for us to do our everyday chores at home, keeping our house. It's natural to go to the grocery store and the post office. It's natural to want to read to our kids. It's natural to give them fun things to play with that are real life things, like, you know, that's natural, right? Using things that you would use in everyday life. So tools and different things like that, and letting them participate in things like loading the dishwasher and helping us cook and using all the tools that come along with that. So we don't have to make this complicated. That's my point. And again, I believe this is part of God's way of gently leading us. And we have to also understand that most developmental milestones happen naturally simply by mom being warmly responsive and providing safety, security, a simple routine, and consistent boundaries. So number one is don't worry about schoolwork. Number two, be a student of your child. I've told this story many times, but you may not have heard it. When we were living on a homestead, we're actually restarting that lifestyle again with several of our older kids living on the property with us. But back when the kids were growing up, we were on a different piece of property across the country, actually. And I grew a garden every year. And one year I had an amazingly wonderful crop. And I had to ask myself, I mean, it was so significantly better that I had to ask myself, what did I do differently? And I realized what it was. I went out to the garden every single day, not for copious long periods of time, but just a check-in, getting a pulse on where my plants were, what was going on with them, and I could waylay any disasters so much better by being out there every day. And this is what I learned, was that I needed to be that way with my kids. I needed to be a student of my child or of my children, of each child individually. And so that meant I had to sit back and watch. I had to check in each day. I would have conversations with them about how they were doing. Just any way that I could keep a pulse on where they were at. So when it comes to learning, we need to watch for interest. You know, a lot of times they'll let us know when they're ready to learn to read, but we need to make sure that we're not pressuring it, okay? Because sometimes we can do that as moms. I remember when our oldest daughter, I knew that I didn't want to take I didn't want to push her. I wanted to take an unhurried approach. But once she started reading lessons, I got super excited. And then one day when she kind of hit a wall and wasn't doing well, I started pushing her. I did exactly what I thought I would never do. And she looked at me and she had big tears in her eyes. And I just realized what I had done. And I just thought, I'm not doing this. So I said, you know what? You did great. You just go on and go play. Well, the next day I asked her if she wanted to do reading lessons. She didn't. So I said, okay, we'll just do it when you're ready. And I can't remember how many days it was, but eventually she was ready. We went back to it. She hadn't lost any of her progress. She did great. But the point is that kids are sensitive to that. Like when they feel the pressure, when we feel pressure, half our brain shuts off, right? And we take all the enjoyment out of it. So what we want to do is just watch for interest and just do it as they're ready and they want to do it and they're excited for as long as they're excited about it. But again, kids are curious by nature and instinctively want to learn. And when kids are ready to learn something, they can move forward at warp speed. Also, look for when learning is happening, and we have to give them time for this. This means we have to have margin in our day. We cannot be in a big fat hurry all the time. But we also have to remember that a lot of learning is happening when we're not looking. Like when they're in the middle of self-directed play, they're doing stuff that they're excited about. They are firing on all cylinders and there's a ton of learning going on there. They're learning when we take them to the grocery store and they're learning how to talk with the cashier. They're learning what it looks like to grocery shop, to be other-oriented, aware of your surroundings, all of these things. And it happens naturally as we're engaged as moms with our kids. So we have to be careful because we can easily burn our children out doing things they aren't interested in or ready for. You know what? Adults, we are the same way. We don't enjoy doing things that we're not interested in. Do we sometimes have to do it? Yes. But when it comes to learning, especially at this stage of the game, we don't want to ruin it for our kids by burning them out. So when they show you something something that they're interested in, engage them with questions and be interested in what they're interested in. And by doing this, we're creating habits and attitudes toward learning that will lay the foundation for the more cognitive years. So I remember one of the things that we did when our kids were babies, from about the fourth kid on, we started around pretty early, 6 to 8 months, we taught them sign language so that just simple signs like please and thank you and drink and hungry. And that made those months and years so much better because one of the biggest frustrations for those littles is not being able to communicate their needs. And so when we give them a way to do that, we can really reduce the amount of frustration for everybody. So, you know, that right there even is, again, part of their education. It's teaching them to communicate well and you're teaching them sign language. But these preschool years are when you establish a learning environment and create habits and attitudes toward learning, again, that will lay the foundation for the more cognitive years. And that is a warm, stable, predictable early environment. So number one was don't worry about the bookwork or schoolwork. Be a student of your child. And number three, let them play. You guys, this is so, so important. There are so many studies out there really emphasizing the importance of play. It's not even an argument. And that's the thing I don't understand about the traditional school system is they ignore all of that. They ignore it all. And it's detrimental to kids. They need to have playtime. And I like to use both self-directed play and directed play. And one of the things that I did, one episode that I did quite a while ago was with my friend Cheryl Bastian. She also has 8 kids. And we talked about the essentials in early education. And it's a wonderful episode to listen to kind of get the juices flowing as to what self-directed and directed play might look like. But play is a huge part of early childhood development. And here is a quote I got from the United Nations, actually. It says, play is sufficiently important to the United Nations that it has recognized it as a specific right for all children. Children need the freedom to explore and play. Play also contributes to brain development. Evidence from neuroscience shows that the early years of a child's development set the basis for learning, behavior, and health throughout life. The child's neural pathways are influenced in their development through the exploration, thinking, problem solving, and language expression, which occur during play. Play nourishes every aspect of children's development. It forms the foundation of intellectual, social, physical, and emotional skills necessary for success in school and in life. Play paves the way for learning. So play, the quote continues, play allows children to use their creativity while developing their imagination, dexterity, and physical, cognitive, and emotional strength. It also allows children to explore the world, practice adult roles, and gain confidence. And it improves children's social skills as well by helping them to learn how to work in groups, to share, to negotiate, to resolve conflicts, and to learn self-advocacy skills. So this is the beauty of homeschooling moms. We can allow margin in our days so that our kids have healthy amounts of unstructured, uninterrupted playtime. And it's easy for us to allow comparisons and distractions to steal this time from our children. So I just want to encourage you not to suck the joy out of this season by allowing comparisons or distractions to carry you away. It only brings unnecessary burdens that God never meant us to bear. I love Matthew 11, 28 to 30. And I don't usually use the Message translation, but this paints such a beautiful and I believe accurate picture. This is Jesus talking. He says, are you tired, worn out? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Isn't that beautiful? We can do that as moms. We can do that as homeschooling moms. We just need to press into the Lord and ask Him for wisdom. So, in conclusion, if you're interested in raising a genius, I'm going to give you Dr. Moore's recipe for genius. He's the one I quoted earlier. He says, more of family and less of school, more of parents and less of peers, more creative freedom and less formal lessons. And he's referring to the early years that came out of Better Late Than Early. So kids are curious by nature and instinctively want to learn. And when kids are ready to learn something, like I said before, they can move at warp speed. So if you take nothing else away from this episode, I want you to hear this. Your children are a blessing. Don't let others pressure you into doing anything that you aren't being led to do. This only steals your joy and leads to burnout. Let God lead you. And sometimes He's going to lead you through your children. That's how you're going to know how to move forward in your homeschooling days. And that's why it's so important to practice that right now. Because you can grow in confidence, grow in your parental discernment to know what's good for your kids and what isn't. Because this is just the beginning of many, many decisions that need to be made in the best interest of your child as opposed to what others are putting on you. So it's so important to take everything to the Lord, to take everything to your husband, to be prayerful about it, to seek good counsel and wisdom, and learn now what it feels like to walk in unforced rhythms of grace and enjoy this precious season with your littles. I want to leave you with a really great little meme that I found a long time ago from How We Learn, and it was WEE.com. It says, I am a preschooler. I am not made to sit still. Instead, teach me by giving me sheets and clothespins to build with, scavenger hunts, hiding blocks in a box, and having me count them with only touch. making a hopscotch, counting while you push me on the swing, singing to me, reading to me, making up stories and songs and rhymes, being silly, playing simple card games with me, drawing in the dirt with sticks with me, putting different things in tubs of water for me to explore, freezing those tubs of water for me to explore differently. Give me blocks to build with. Give me beads and pipe cleaners. Bake with me, most of all, by giving me unstructured time. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for this season. What a precious season with our kids. It is so fleeting, and yet it can be so exhausting sometimes. I just pray for every mom listening that she would be able to slow her heart down and listen to what you're instructing her to do with her family and to move forward in courage with her and her husband and with her children. Lord, that they would find a rhythm for their family that is sustainable as they walk out this particular season and the seasons to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, moms, I want to tell you about an amazing summer leadership camp that my friends at XL College host. It's no secret that now more than ever before, it's vital for our teens to learn to think critically and live wisely as they navigate the world and become who God made them to be. My friends at XL College are passionate about helping young leaders learn to discover God's truth, discern wisely, and live wholeheartedly, and have fun doing it. If the teenager in your home wants to grow in their faith while building lifelong friendships and going on the adventure of a lifetime, send them to XL College's Summer Leadership Camp. It's a transformative journey where they will go on thrilling adventures like camping, rock climbing, whitewater rafting, and receive expert training and certifications in categories from CPR to wilderness first aid. You can apply now at thexlcamp.org. I'll leave a link in the show notes. Have a great day, moms.